Hello and welcome to The Debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, 11 years and not a clear vision of when it will end. This is the way the U.S.-led invasion and a war on Afghanistan can be described. Though there was hope that all the troops would be leaving in 2014, it seems that that may not be the case now. The United States top general in the Middle East, James Mattis, wants 13,600 American soldiers to remain in Afghanistan after 2014. And the question is, why would they want to stay? We'll stay with us on this debate as we take a look at this reason.
Ambulances rushing toward an attack site outside the Afghan Defense Ministry. Civilian casualties were reported after a bomber struck outside the ministry in the Afghan capital. Taliban militants claimed responsibility for the attack that was carried out as the Pentagon's chief, Chuck Hagel, was visiting Kabul. Another bomb attack killed a number of people, most of them children, in the eastern city of Khust.
War didn't stop, and we have a war here. And that's just the reality. We're going to continue to work with the Afghans and our coalition partners to fight that war.
There's been a surge in the number of civilian casualties over the past months, despite the presence of thousands of foreign forces whose leaders say are in Afghanistan to establish security there. Based on an agreement between Kabul and the Western Military Alliance, NATO, the bulk of combat foreign forces, including Americans, must pull out of Afghanistan by the end of 2014. But the U.S. is considering a longer presence and has been engaged in talks with Afghan authorities to keep troops in the war-torn country beyond 2014. In February, the then Pentagon chief Leon Panetta said up to 12,000 troops could stay behind, but not all of those would be American troops necessarily. Now, head of the U.S. Central Command, James Mattis, believes that 13,600 American troops must remain in Afghanistan after 2014. He also believes that about 7,000 non-American forces could also remain in the war-torn country. America's decision to prolong its military presence in Afghanistan comes despite mounting public anger at the U.S.-led foreign forces. Outrage has grown over rising civilian casualties caused during military operations. Public resentment also increased following the desecration of religious sanctities, as well as other acts of disrespect by the U.S.-led troops. As another sign of anger at the U.S.-led foreign forces, the so-called green-on-blue attacks have increased over the past months, with dozens of foreign forces killed after Afghans turned their weapons on them. The latest such incident happened in the eastern province of Kapisa on Friday. American officials have said troops that will remain beyond 2014 will be on a non-combat mission, mainly to train Afghan colleagues. But is this the real objective behind their extended presence there? Afghanistan has oil and gas resources. It also has huge amounts of lithium, copper, gold, coal, iron, and other minerals. It's also geopolitically important as it lies close to the U.S. rival powers, China, Russia, and Iran.
Well, I'd like to welcome my guest to the program out of Washington from the Executive Intelligence Review, Mr. Bill Jones. And out of New York, journalist and commentator Ms. Maxine Dover. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's stay in New York and start it off with Ms. Dover. Well, after losing more than 2,000 American troops, Ms. Dover, why would Washington want to remain in Afghanistan any longer?
I don't know if it's a matter of wanting to or needing to work on the protection of the Afghani people and the Afghani government, to assure that the training that needs to be done is in fact being done. As you noted in your introduction, the troops that will remain are not to be designated or and will not be combat troops, but rather will be teaching troops, instructed to assist the Afghani colleagues in bettering their skills.
Okay, what about that, Mr. Jones? Do you believe that Washington is staying in Afghanistan simply to train the Afghan troops, or is it something a little bit more than that?
Well, I think they're staying in Afghanistan because if they were pulled out, everything points in the direction that the Taliban would again take over. The policy of trying to create mm-hmm. a nation in Afghanistan standing on its own two feet has not been terribly successful, and there are probably a lot of reasons for that. But there was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears spent by the United States and the other allied countries. And therefore, at this point, General Mattis, who was looking at the situation on the ground rather than on the political promises that may have been made earlier, has an estimate that this amount of troops is going to be needed in order to maintain some kind of stability. But I think that that what it points to is really the folly of the policy that was in place in trying to put Afghanistan together. Something went wrong because all the time and money that was spent on this has not led to a stable Afghanistan where the U.S. can now simply withdraw.
Well, what about that, Mr. Johns, what you just said? Let me just pick up on what you've just said, that all the time they've been in there, but still it hasn't led to a stable Afghanistan. So if they stay beyond 2014, and of course there are going to be less troops and supposedly training troops only, is there a guarantee that there's going to be stability with them there since there hasn't been in these 11 years?
May I pick up
By
on
no
that?
By no means.
Go ahead, Mr. Sure, Johns. I'm staying with you, and then I'll switch over to you, Ms. Dover. Go ahead, Mr. Johns.
Oh, okay.
Fine.
By no means, it's not going to be the case. I mean, somehow you have to find a strategy in which stability is brought to this area. There were discussions initially that the cooperation with many of the countries in the region, bringing together all the forces, some forces of stability that do exist in the region, to try and create some kind of Afghan state, would be the most likely way of moving in that direction. The U.S. had the policy of trying to deal with this solely militarily, and it hasn't been successful. And I don't think, given, of course, the attacks on U.S. soldiers that have been made by Afghani troops, by troops trained by the United States, indicates that the training is not going to solve the problem. And either the United States is going to have to be there, or you're going to have to look at a different strategy for maintaining and creating initially stability in Afghanistan.
Okay, go ahead, Ms. Dover. You want to jump in on this?
Well, I think the first and priority application has to be looking towards stability. I agree with you there. The removal of military troops removes both the instigation for a target and the target itself. By having the Afghan government itself, the Afghan people, in charge of its own military, in charge of its own police, without the Americans on the front line, there's a very wide opportunity for this government to develop a steady, solid presence. Having the backup, and the extra learning and the extra intelligence that a group of teachers, if you would, can give to the Afghan troops, the Afghan police, the Afghan military, the Afghan engineers and developers of those oil fields and resources that you mentioned, will still enable and allow the Afghan people to be in charge. It takes away the Americans
then, Ms. Dover,
as the target.
For how long does this teaching process, as you call it, how long does this teaching process go on? When does it reach its culmination, or does it reach an end?
You know, in a world that is global, and in a world that shares resources, where innovation and research and development is transferred from city to city or country to country, where benefits in agriculture, in oil development, in energy development are not limited to any single place, that's a question that doesn't really have an answer. Will they be military troops who will remain as the guide and as the instructors? Perhaps not. Perhaps the military is a segue. Those who will remain, who are part of the military, will segue into civilian participants in ordinary governance and in ordinary industrial development.
Okay.
That, I think, would be the hope and the ideal development.
Well, what about that, Mr. Jones? Let me just put it in a different way. If Afghanistan didn't have the natural resources that it has, if Afghanistan was not geostrategically important, would the United States be there and stay there as long as it has? And indefinitely, it appears that it wants to stay there.
Well, that's an interesting question, although you've got to understand that the presence in Afghanistan by the United States was a result of 9/11. As a matter of fact, going into Afghanistan seemed to be an attempt by certain sections of the U.S. Political elites to avoid what many people were pushing for in the beginning, that is going after Iraq, which of course had nothing to do with 9/11, but people wanted to do that. And in order to prevent an immediate Iraq war as a result of 9/11, they launched these operations in Afghanistan where Osama bin Laden and other people had pretty much of a free rein to plot whatever they were plotting. That was the initial reason. But the United States has not been so successful, and it's a very difficult task, in nation building, especially in a country like Afghanistan, which effectively never really was what we would consider a nation in modern terms, but rather an association of a lot of different tribes. You cannot do that artificially. You cannot create that from the outside or even from the inside with a military occupation unless there is the basis for doing that. So the idea of maintaining some kind of stability in Afghanistan with the help of a military occupation, I think, is doomed to failure and has shown itself really to be somewhat of a failure up until now.
So if that is the case, if it is doomed to fail, then why wouldn't they cut their losses sooner? Or are they expecting to gain something by this?
Well, you've got to have some kind of an alternative here, because obviously
your conditional.
Ms. Stover, I will get back to you. Let me just let Mr. Jones go ahead and answer that other part of his question. Go ahead.
In order to do that, you have to have an alternative, because as I say, if the U.S. troops simply left at this point, it would turn out in the same way that it turned out the last time the U.S. left Afghanistan after their war against the Soviet Union. It devolved into chaos and terrorism. That would not be good for anybody, and especially not for the countries in the region. But what the United States could do, and has been a resistance to doing, is trying to get the players in the region, all those countries that are surrounding Afghanistan, including countries like China and Russia, Russia, of course, with a lot of experience in Afghanistan, to try and bring to bear, and that includes countries that are not very friendly with each other, like India and Pakistan, could play a role in trying to create a zone of stability in the region as a whole, which would promote creating some kind of stability, or at least preventing Afghanistan from returning to a state of chaos. But
okay,
the U.S. has been pursuing a policy. They tend to go in that same direction. I think they're not going to get very far with it.
All right, Ms. Stover, according to some of our Facebook viewers, some of the statements that they've put, many of them have mentioned, when we asked the question, the main reasons why the United States is still in Afghanistan and seems that they will be remaining for a while. They mentioned things like drugs, natural resources. Your take on this, is that a factor in it at all?
Look, that's a reality. The fact is that you cannot say if there were no. There are. There are natural resources, there are drug problems, and there are ways of encouraging a rational and intelligent development for the benefit of the Afghan people. And those ways have to include bringing the level of knowledge, bringing the level of administrative knowledge, and bringing the level of pure technical knowledge to the state of the art. By being an advisor rather than a military target, I think the United States has the ability to do the training. To create a, quote, zone of stability, as was suggested, involves the cooperation of a governing body. Whether that governing body is a representative of different tribal interests, different area interests, or an overall general Afghani governing body remains to be part of that development that's chosen by the population. We're not going to be able to dictate what nation is built, but certainly the American presence and the NATO presence, not just the American presence, and perhaps Russian advice, perhaps Chinese or Indian. Nothing says that if we're talking about international business or if we're talking about international knowledge, those experts from other countries than America should not be involved. That will help gain a stability that doesn't exist. You know, there is a gentleman who runs one of the most widely respected multinational companies, a small company called Coca-Cola, who is thoroughly convinced, Mr. Muhtar Kent, that business will be the way that will control politics, will influence, if you would, not control, but influence politics towards a more global, more international, more universally positive way of doing business. I think that expansion of those existing natural resources, and they are there, and of those abilities and talents and ownership of the Afghan people of its own future is what the American presence can help build.
Okay. Well, let me, hate to interrupt you. Let me just get, I had to get to what, some more of the comments from our viewers off of the Facebook page. Check this one out.
Tariq Ahmed Ghani. According to their statement, Osama bin Laden has already been killed. But still, these troops are there. Either their statement is false or they are trying to rule over Afghanistan.
All right, Mr. Jones, what do you think about our viewer's comment basically saying that Osama bin Laden has been killed, so why are they still there? Is it something else? Do they want to rule over Afghanistan? What would you, how would you answer this question to our viewer?
Well, I think it is true that Osama bin Laden has been killed, but it was really a very foolish to make him into the real perpetrator, the be-all and the end-all of the threat against the United States. It's really not clear, you know, what role he had to play. And, of course, the problem that the United States is facing is not dependent on one single individual. It's dependent on a whole array of people who are involved in this thing. And just because Osama bin Laden was killed in a special operation, which gave the President of the United States the ability to say, okay, now it's almost over, was very foolish from the get-go. The United States is there, I believe, in order to try and create some stability. There's a variety of people, of course, who are interested in those raw materials resources. There are a lot of people who are interested in dealing and exploiting the wealth of Afghanistan.
Well, let me just jump in here, Mr. Jones, because when you talk about, when you say that the United States is there to create stability, and obviously it has not been successful in more than 11 years, not creating stability, not working on Afghan infrastructure, and really we have not seen the United States doing that in any of the countries that it has been involved. When you talk about, for example, bringing security to the people or helping with the infrastructure, I mean, we can look at neighboring Iraq right now, and as far as the infrastructure, which is extremely weak, and Afghanistan, of course, even weaker, and so many other places. And also, you talked about Osama bin Laden. Let's get on to the Al-Qaeda deal, because we look at it on the one hand that they have basically said that it is the enemy, Al-Qaeda is the enemy in Afghanistan, but yet a friend in those who are basically fighting Syria and in Mali. I mean, it's very, very complex here. So where does it end? How does it end?
Well, it's
how
a question of what policy.
Perhaps the
Mr.
end
Jones,
is
Mr. Jones, go ahead, please. Mr.
Policy
Over,
is
hold
put
on,
into
I'll be
place.
Back. Go ahead, Mr. Jones.
Can I It's a question of what policy is put into place. Look, you've got the policy of the Obama administration. The official policy coming out of the White House is really a policy of many wars everywhere. This is basically what they've been doing. What's going on in Syria is an example of this. There has been resistance from the U.S. military. These are the people whose lives, whose blood is shed when we get into these wars. They don't like going into wars unless there's some reason for doing it. And this is why the United States has not yet devoted troops in a new war in Syria, but
okay.
rather is conducting.
Let me get Ms. Dover in here because we're almost out of time. Let me get Ms. Dover in here. Ms. Dover, your take in general, because I'm sure if you talk to the average American on the street, they are extremely tired of war and tired of paying for the war and economically as far as the pressure. So who is profiting from this war, the continued occupation of the United States in Afghanistan? Who benefits from it?
Look, everybody's tired of war, whether it's in the streets of New York or in the streets of Kabul. No one wants to be fearful of a bullet hitting himself or a bomb blowing up his kids. Getting to a point where there is that ability to live a normal life, to build refrigerators instead of tanks, whatever that symbolism might be, that's where we need to go. To rid the military option, to lessen the military demand, and get to a point where infrastructure can be built, get to a point where industry can be developed, get to a point where the Taliban will see that the greater value is in developing its country rather than destroying it. That's perhaps what the non-military presence can do. That's what a non-military presence should be able to do. And if the Afghani people are able to pick up the benefits of that, pick up the learning from that, we could have a very different situation in a reasonable amount of time. I'm not going to say reasonably short, but in a reasonable amount of time. Nation building doesn't happen overnight. America in 1776 didn't say, hello, we're a nation. There was a lot to be done. And if anybody remembers, there was a war in 1812 and the British tried to take back America. That's a period of, close to 30 years. That is not what we hope will happen in Afghanistan. It's a different world. It's a much more rapid world. But having the ability to build the infrastructure, to build the nation,
Ms. Dover, I'm going
to
go back to the same question that I had. I'm going to give you the same question that I had given our guests in Washington. When has the United States been involved in nation building? When they have invaded all of these lands all over the world? We will use Iraq and Afghanistan because these are the two more recent ones. We do not see nation building. We see destruction of nations. So what makes you think that now, even after 11 and a half years, that actually they're going to change direction and actually now get into the business of nation building?
Well, I think the fact that the withdrawal of military troops is what's scheduled, the remaining troops, going back again to our original conversation, being advisors, being instructors, being able to dedicate themselves to a positive rather than a military application of knowledge is the right direction. I think the need has to be to convince not only those in cooperation with the American troops, but those who are the current enemy, if you would, the Taliban and others who would rather see destruction, that that's not in the best interest of the people. In the best interest of the people is, in fact, to build a nation with a strong infrastructure and take advantage of those natural resources.
All right, Mr. Jones, 30 seconds. Mr. Jones, 30 seconds, almost out of time. Are you optimistic that this will be happening?
Not at all. I think as long as we have the Obama White House, we're going to have more wars. Regional wars, which always have the potential of turning into wars between great powers. Russia and China are not happy with the United States either. They're on the opposite sides of most of these problems. And if they get any worse, then it becomes a problem between the great powers. And I think that's the situation we're looking at, unless there is a change of policy and change of regime.
All right. And on that note, I'd like to thank both my guests for being with me. Out of Washington from the Executive Intelligence Review, Mr. Bill Jones, and out of New York, journalist and commentator, Ms. Maxine Dover, appreciate you guys being with us. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us. And make sure you join us same time, same place tomorrow for another debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thanks so much for being with us, and goodbye.